Thank you, George, and thank you, choir. As children go to children's church and some of the deacons come out of the choir, I would invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 18 in your Bibles. Acts chapter 18. We're going to read, come on. We're going to read the first four verses and then move down to verse 18 and following. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they worked together. By trade, they were tent makers. Every Sabbath, he would argue in the synagogue and would try to convince Jews and Greeks. And moving over to verses 18 and following, after staying there for a considerable time, Paul said farewell to the believers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. At Cenchre, he had his hair cut, for he was under a vow. When they reached Ephesus, he left them there, but first he himself went into the synagogue and had a discussion with the Jews. When they asked him to stay longer, he declined, but on taking leave of them, he said, "I will return to you if God wills." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he had landed at Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church, and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time there, he departed and went from place to place through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Now there came to Ephesus a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria. He was an eloquent man, well versed in the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with burning enthusiasm and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God to him more accurately. If I were to ask for a show of hands as to how many persons here today have been influenced by a woman Sunday school teacher or missions teacher to accept God in Christ, my guess is that many people would raise their hands. Baptists can never deny the importance of women historically in the missions life of the church. WMU, now Women on Mission. Lottie Moon, Annie Armstrong, just to mention a few of those areas and those people. In fact, in most Baptist churches, you will find people who will make the statement, "If it weren't for the women in this church, we wouldn't be here." In fact, were it not for the women throughout church history who have worked in the church's influence and the church's survival would be significantly diminished. And many preachers would not be where they are if God had not used women to influence, even teach them along the way. Most Baptists are familiar with a high-profile person in Baptist life named Charles Stanley. Though he does not allow women deacons in the church, Stanley has stated on many occasions that a woman was preaching the sermon in the revival service on the night of his acceptance of Jesus as Lord and Savior and on the night that God called him into ministry. Interesting. Additionally, in its early history, if you go back and study, one of the pastors of First Baptist Church, Dallas, died. And his wife took over the role of pastor until another person could be found. Far too often, women have been unsung heroines of the faith. Or we only give them a little aside. But one of those unsung heroines of the faith is Prisca, also known as Priscilla, in the New Testament, the wife of Aquila, and I would submit a teacher of preachers. A teacher of preachers. We're introduced to Priscilla here in Acts chapter 18. She and Aquila were tent makers, or literally in the Greek it means leather workers, in Corinth, that great metropolitan city. And they became associates of Paul. In fact, they kind of hooked up because Paul worked in leather and they worked in leather. We find them later in the cities of Ephesus and coming to Paul when he is in Rome. Now, while in this first mention, Aquila is listed first, every other place the couple is mentioned in the book of Acts and in the letters of Paul, Priscilla gets first mention. In typical Greek fashion, that would be an indication of the person who was stronger in the relationship. While in Corinth, Paul finds them both well-versed in Christian teaching and in understanding. In 1 Corinthians, he also speaks of the church that was in their house in Ephesus, that met actually within their home. And in Acts 18:18 and following, as we read just a few moments ago, we find Paul leaving Corinth and taking Priscilla and Aquila with him to Syria, then to Ephesus, where they establish that house church and where they are left in charge, completely in charge. In Acts 18, verses 24 and following, which we also read, we are introduced to an Alexandrian Jew named Apollos. There was a large contingent of Jews in Alexandria, Egypt, and some of them became followers of the way, or Christians. Apollos comes to Ephesus as a teacher, as a preacher, a Christian preacher. Someone has written that Apollos was the kind of man that we might call a Christian, but not quite. He had many of the requirements, that is, knowledge of the Scriptures, the Hebrew Scriptures, fervent in spirit, we're told that he is enthusiastic, and that he was an eloquent and learned man. He was well versed in Greek rhetoric, and had been instructed in the way of the Lord, but knew only the baptism of John. This may have meant that he was part of an early Christian group that celebrated baptism for repentance, but not in the name of Jesus. Because if you recall, John's baptism was baptism for repentance. This would be a baptism into moral improvement, but not necessarily a baptism into interchange from Christ, an interchange which requires one to die to self and into God's gracious life. Some contend that Apollos may have been a Gnostic Christian from Alexandria who taught that Jesus was the Gnostic teacher that came to give special inner knowledge that would lead to God. We are not sure of all the nature of the deficiencies of the teachings of Apollos. But we do find that Apollos speaks regularly and boldly in the synagogue. Priscilla and Aquila are often around the synagogue area, teaching, preaching, listening. And after listening carefully to the message of Apollos, they took him aside, and the text says they expounded to him the way of God more accurately. With the listing of Priscilla first, Luke gives us an understanding that she was the more knowledgeable one, and the one who understood the inner workings of the gospel the most. And she teaches the preacher, here Apollos. She teaches him more deeply about the real meaning of the gospel of God in Jesus. The emphasis is focused on the messiahship of Jesus and on deeper understandings of God's expectations, what God expects of the Christian in life and in teaching. Priscilla's virtue and spiritual depth set her apart. Set her apart from others, even set her apart from her husband. She taught Apollos and others that if one simply tries to live out the moral goals of the teachings of Jesus without fully connecting with His life and living that in their own lives, then they have missed the mark. Theodore Ferris writes, "The church was not, is not, and never can be a society simply for the improvement of morals. It was at the start, is now, and always must remain a resurrection center in which men and women see the reality of God, surrender the direction of their lives, die to their own selfish wills, and are raised to a new and different life. A life in which all the old problems will be there, but will be controlled. So that under the disquiet of the world will be the peace of God that passes all understanding." That type of understanding that the Christian life is not just about morals, but about more than morals, is part of what Priscilla understood and taught Apollos. You may have heard of Apollos somewhere else. Apollos became known as one of the super apostles of the church, especially of the church in Corinth. When he goes to Achaia and then later to Corinth, Apollos greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus is Messiah. And part of the reason, I would submit a large part of the reason that he was able to do that is because of the instruction he received from Priscilla. Priscilla, who continually studied not just the Hebrew Scriptures, but Priscilla, who continually studied the things that she was learning about Jesus and His life, the things that she experienced in her own life, the things that others were talking about concerning Jesus and the Christian life. In fact, we find that oftentimes Priscilla and Aquila help Paul out of difficult circumstances, and they are called fellow ministers in the gospel. While Aquila had a hand in spreading the good news, it turns out that Priscilla, like Lottie Moon, and so many other women throughout Christian history, Priscilla was one of the most significant women. Now, I'm going to change that. She wasn't just one of the most significant women. Priscilla was one of the most significant Christians in the life of the early church. She lived and taught that deep understanding of what it means to truly be Christian. And she did it in a male-dominant society, one in which sometimes she may have been shouted down, but she still stood strong, teaching, even teaching the preachers about God in Christ. She is one of those unsung heroines of the faith. One that we really don't talk about a whole lot. But one that is an example we can follow. in her commitment to God in Christ, in her commitment to study, to learn, to teach, to live, every bit as God's child. Priscilla, the Lottie Moon of her day, the Annie Armstrong of her time, names that we are familiar with. And yet, Priscilla was humble. Priscilla was faithful. And Priscilla gives to you and to me the kind of example of what we can all be as Christians, men and women, in sharing that life that God intends for you and for me. Teaching through living. Teaching through study. Teaching through life. Because in so doing, it means life everlasting. And it is that life everlasting that we receive from God in the Christ as we come to our time of table fellowship, this time where we share in the Lord's Supper. Would you please be prayerful as we participate, knowing that even in this act, God is teaching us what it means to be Christ's brother or sister.